Welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. I want to just send out a special thank you to our Butterfly Evolution family, for those of you who continuously tune in with us each and every Monday night. I also want to thank our first-time listeners for tuning in with us tonight. It is my hope that you will take something away from tonight's show that will encourage you, one, to move forward, to continue to move forward in your life, and two, to just become a part of our Butterfly Evolution family. So a special thanks basically to everyone. Before moving into tonight's show, I do want to just stop and acknowledge this very, very, very special day. It is special to me in more ways than one, as I hope it is for you as well. And you probably know where I'm going with this, but I am just in awe of today being what it is, meaning the presidential inauguration, and at the same time we're celebrating the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King. So I am just elated over that. President Obama was sworn in and for his second term, and just imagine, many people just never believed it would happen one time, and for him to be sworn in again, I mean, it's just an awesome thing, and how much more awesome just to be able to say happy birthday to Dr. Martin Luther King. So I'm just overly enjoyed about that. It has just empowered me beyond measures today, and so timely for me, because I'm at a time in my life where I just kind of need a boost. I just need some goodness, something to just grab on and to help you keep moving forward. So I hope that many of you did the same as it did for me. I hope it did that for you in a sense. I hope that it gave you some motivation to move forward past some things, because we come from a time, this reminds me, although we didn't, many of us may not have gone through that struggle, but, you know, we come from a time where, even as I sit here today, back in a time, I would have not been able to walk in a restaurant and eat at a certain time, or just drink from a water fountain, or be able to sit at the front of a bus. So I hope that you reflect upon how much opportunity is out there, and then reflect upon your life. Are you grabbing hold of that opportunity? Are you moving forward? Are you taking life? Are you by the end and moving forward, are you embracing life more so? So I just hope that it blessed you as it did me today. So again, I'm just honored for Dr. King's vision for the human race, and hope you all as well. So let's move forward a little bit. I want to just let you know that the chat line is open, and I'm going to check just to be sure. And it is. I want to just remind you all, for those of you who are listening by way of chat, you do have to be a registered follower of the show in order for me to receive your question or your comment. If you have not registered as a follower at this time, you can do that now, or you could do that later and simply use the call-in number 818-691-7406 in order to pose your question or your comments just for tonight's show. If you are listening online with us, remember you have to and only have to select the number one if you do have a question or a comment. The way that I will pull you in is I will identify the area code that you are calling from and the last four digits of the number that you're calling from. So that is the way that I will pull you in. Remember, when I do acknowledge that, that means you are on air live with us, and at that time you can pose your question or comment. So that's where we are tonight. Tonight's topic is about an internal nagging hunger. And most people, when they see that or hear that, some people or most people may go directly to food, you know, thinking that we are talking about food. But that is not what this show is about. It is about your emotional, internal hunger that sometimes resurfaces without much notice, without you knowing that you're headed there. Sometimes it catches us off guard. And for others, I think sometimes we are aware that it is approaching, but we don't really prepare ourselves for it. And that comes back to mentally being prepared, watching your thoughts, watching your actions, and all of those things. And that's kind of what we've talked about and expressed, getting you into a habit, different habits of exploring what's going on in your mind while you're responding to life or not responding to life sometimes, or why you are responding the way that you are or the way that you do. Going back to what today means, I want to focus a little bit more before moving forward into tonight's show. I want everyone, if you've not already asked yourself this question today, I know I have, and it has really taken me into a deep thinking process. What would or how would Dr. King feel today as it relates to where we are? What would his thought process be about today's inauguration? And I know that we may never know that answer. We may, you know, never be able to just hear that. But in my opinion, I do feel that Dr. King would be very, very proud of particularly President Obama's second term, and I think he'd be overjoyed of that process. However, I can't help but stop and reflect on us as people and where we are and how we love one another, how we see one another, what we do even to ourselves. How we love ourselves, I think, is even more important. So I do feel like there is more expected from us as it relates to our personal growth, our family structure, our ability to love our neighbor as we love, you know, ourselves. And you've heard me say this on the show. You know, the neighbor is not necessarily the person out your front door to the left or the right, or out your back door across the street. It's not necessarily that person, and I think so many people look at it that way, and we ignore surroundings. So it's not necessarily about that. We should include that, but we should also look at how we treat our personal circle as well. So that person, your neighbor, really is the person, could be the person that wakes up right next to you. How are you treating the people that you say you love, the people that you say mean the most to you? And I feel I wanted to bring that up because it's going to be relevant as I move through the show. You'll see the relevancy to it. But I feel that many of us are unable to have that kind of love or express that type of love because the lack of self-love for ourselves. And many people will say, you know, here we go with that again. People say that they love themselves, but if you really look at how people treat themselves, what they do, how they interact, just the things that they allow to produce and take in, you know, you might say, you know, really, do you really think you love yourself? And I had to do that for me, for myself. I had to do that. I had to look at what I was allowing, and maybe it may not be so much as loving yourself, but you may not just like who you are. You may not like where you are in your life. And it allows you to react to life most times in a very negative way. So I found myself pondering. I kind of changed my writings here, or my notes here for today. I found myself pondering on that after looking at the speech and the inauguration. I just kind of found myself pondering on that, and also because of some things that happened over the weekend and also today that I really just want to share with you, because I think it's a result of people having that nagging hunger and not dealing with it and not having that self-love, just not really dealing with it. So I'm going to share a little bit without going into too much detail on it, but of course, those of you who listen to the show, you know about the 901 Butterflies. And we had our first meeting this past Saturday, and it was a very, very emotional meeting in more ways than one, so much so until it just, I found that it left me emotionally depleted. And every now and then I'll have those times, those instances where things do that, or I allow something to get, and I won't say the best of me because that just doesn't seem to be the appropriate word for it, but it really does dig deep with internally, I'll just say. But it brought me to a point to where I'm really hard on mothers anyway and women. I'm really hard because I don't get it where children don't motivate parents, man or woman, father or mother, to do better, to want better, to move better, if not for themselves, but for their children. And so as I reflect upon that on Sunday, you know, I thought about this topic and the nagging hunger, and I just really feel that mothers and fathers are so lost, and they have such lack of self-love for themselves until it's almost difficult to give it, even to their children, as difficult and as hard as that seem to hear. It has to be some truth to that. It's as if it's all about me. You know, I wasn't able to do these things, and I don't know if you're going to be able to move beyond, you know, where we are as a people or as a family. So fast forwarding that to today, I ended up in a situation where I kind of got to see this all over again with parents. I had to drop someone off, a young girl. Well, I shouldn't say have to, but I dropped someone off to a function for a Dr. King celebration. It was a volunteer service. It must have been 50-plus kids there and no adult anywhere. And I saw parent after parent after parent after parent drive up, drop their kids off, pull off, parent after parent after parent. And I'm sitting in awe thinking, okay, this just doesn't look right. This doesn't sit right with me. Here I am dropping someone else's child off, and I'm sitting, I'm staying, I'm waiting to see an adult. Never happened. And I found out later that it never happened. So an adult never showed up. But there is adult that's over this function. So it just put that much more thought on my mind as far as where our children are today. We have all this freedom. We have everything going on. We live in this microwave world. Parents seemingly have it much more easy as far as things to do. I don't care if it's one parent or two parent home. Seemingly, there's just everything is at a snap of a finger. So that leads me to believe that a number of things, but for the sake of this topic and tonight's topic is, there must be some really emotionally hungry people, mothers, fathers, because it wasn't just mothers. I saw men pull up and drop young girls. I mean, this is not just girls, not just boys. This was 9th through 12th grade boys and girls in a park setting, in a park setting. So that just leads me to believe that there is a lot of internal hungriness going on that people are not dealing with, and it's just a triggering effect. It's causing us to not raise our children, not to take time for our children, not to put our children first, not to put ourselves first. We're just chasing the next big thing, the next big happening, the next big reality show, the next party, the next social event. And there's nothing wrong with those things in balance. But if your home is not in order, if your internal dialogue is not in order, those are temporary things. Those are temporary fixes that will do nothing for your internal hunger. So I wanted to share that today with you because, again, it was very moving for me in a very almost unexplainable way. So I just challenge everyone, particularly every mother, because it seemingly we do have, we're in a time where we have one-parent homes, and for the most part it seems that, that the parent is the mom or the mother. But that is no excuse. That really is more of a reason for you to get up and get going, because now you have to be more accountable and more in sync and more in tune and more on your J-O-B. It's not an excuse to be a part-time anything, because your kids are watching, your daughters are watching, your sons are watching. So even if you have that internal hunger, I mean, I was honest with you guys. I tell you, I faked it with Brandon. I faked it raising Brandon. I had that same internal hunger. Didn't know how to identify it at that point because I was so out of tune with life and myself and my purpose and my goals and what I wanted and what God's word meant and said and promises me. I was so out of touch, but there was something that knew that I didn't want that for my son. So I'm taking this time just to challenge every parent, every mother, every father, every aunt, every uncle, grandparent. We have to do better. If we want these kids to do better, to be better, we got to backtrack. We have a long way to go and start over. So I'm identifying that with tonight's topic, again, because I have to think that there's something going on inside with mothers and fathers who are able to do that and be okay. I have to. So didn't mean to get so far off of it, but I did want to share that. I want to continue before moving on. I want to just make sure I continue to encourage you all to move your trash cans. And for our new listeners, this is something that we ask our listeners to do on a consistent basis. That is, move your trash cans. And in doing that, we want you to monitor how often you go back to the place where you moved your trash can from. So how often do you go back to its former location? And in doing that, it helps you to see or to determine how the mind keeps record. Okay, so how your mind keeps records of even the smallest things, and it helps to promote change because, as we've talked about on the show, life changes. Everything around us changes, and we have to be able to adapt to change. If you have children or if you're married, have a family, use this as a fun tool. Use this as a way to kind of bring the family together and monitor who goes back the most. Put a little chart on the refrigerator and monitor it, because it really helps you to identify with how your mind goes places without much thought process. And that's what habits are. Habits are, of course, powerful in our lives because they are those things that we do consistently and often unconsciously. So they're those unconscious patterns that we repeatedly do, again, without much thought process. So they do, however, also they have a way of affecting our lives in an effective way or ineffective way, and they help to express our character. Remember what we said: sow a thought, you know, reap a habit. You have to be careful even what you're thinking. And we're still on motivational month, so we're going to tie all this into our New Year's resolutions as well. And I hope that you guys are continuing your momentum. We are way past 7 days or even 14 days, I think it is, 12 to 14 days. They say people just drop it, don't think about it anymore. So we're going to tie this in as well, because I do think that those New Year resolutions steer from an internal hunger in a different way, but I think it has something to do with that as well, meaning what is deep within us, what is inside of us that we want to change or do differently. I think it has a lot to do with that. And one more thing before moving forward, I did not mention in our housekeeping reminders, I want to just encourage you all to continue. We are growing. I am just very thankful of the growth in the numbers. Of course, most of them come from our archive shows, but just growing significantly. So I know that because you were talking about the show and you are telling people about it. So just remember to please continue to do that, because as we grow, we want people to grow with us. And just remind people that it airs on Monday nights, 8 o'clock, but they're also archived for later listening, so they don't have to be available on Monday night. They can go back and listen at any time. So I'm going to check the chat line really quick here. I don't want to miss anybody from there. Okay, and remember, for those of you who are listening on the chat line, you do have to be a registered follower in order for me to get your comment or question. Otherwise, you may want to just call in for tonight. I found, and this is just by, I found myself becoming this kind of just people watcher and walking around wanting to talk to almost everybody when I'm out. Anybody that will talk to me, and sometimes when they don't want to talk to me, I still kind of push the conversation on. And in doing that, I'm finding that many, many, many people are struggling. Many people are very unhappy. And I'm not talking about young people, 25, 26, 30. I mean, I'm talking even 55, 60. I'm amazed at how many people will open up to you and tell you almost their life story about where they are and how they feel in the grocery store or in an eating facility. I'm just amazed. And it's just because something you say to them, you could say, "I really like your hat," or "I really like those shoes," and it strikes up a conversation, and these people end up telling you things that you think, I wasn't intending to get all of that. But lately, that's kind of been my zone, and I'm reminded of being out a few weeks ago and talking to about four people, so much engaged in the conversation where it leaves you saying, okay, here is my number. You can call me, you know, anytime. And that tells me that people are, not only are they struggling, but they're eager to have someone listen. They're eager to have someone just strike up that conversation and make themselves available to say, for them to say, this is what's going on in my life. These are my life challenges. This is what's hurting me. And again, I'm amazed at the number of people that will do that in the midst of grocery shopping. So I challenge you all to do the same, because you never know. You never know who you are encountering and what their thought process is. Basically, you never know whose life you can save or change. So I challenge you all to do the same thing. And doing that, ask yourself this, for the sake of moving on with the show: why do you guys think that there are so many people struggling emotionally? We have so many distractions going on. I just do want to say that. We have TV, the reality shows, Facebook. We have so much drama going on everywhere. We seem to be, again, in this microwave world, but at the same time, we have so much that is readily available to us as well. I mean, you can almost get up and go anywhere to get something to eat within 5 minutes from anywhere. There's something seemingly always going on. So why do you feel people are struggling emotionally? And again, as I reference back to my conversations when I'm out and about, why do you think for the most part people keep this struggle private? With the exceptions of when they're out and about, and of course, if someone strikes up that conversation, and seemingly they're readily available to open up to strangers more so than people that they know or people in their circle. So, two questions thus far: why do you think so many people are struggling emotionally in the midst of all the things that seem to be available to us? And why do you think, for the most part, they don't share that? They put forward this facade of everything's okay. And in thinking about that, particularly for those of you who listen regularly, think about, we talked briefly on a previous show, this was not the topic, but it came up, people of the lie. Keep that in your mind as we move forward, because I'm going to bring that back into our topic for tonight. But those questions, again, was why do people struggle so much, or why are people struggling so much, or seem to be emotionally struggling, and why do you think people keep that inside? Why don't they speak of it or seek or ask for help or portray that everything's okay? And that comes back to people of the lie. Coming to our topic, why do you think so many are experiencing this reoccurring internal nagging hunger? I'm going to explain, and I'll ask you the question as well, but what do you think is meant by internal nagging hunger? And again, we're not talking about food here, and also how do you overcome this internal nagging hunger? And again, keep in mind now, for those of you who are just tuning in, this is not in any way about food. So if you are, if you're hoping that's where we're going, we are certainly not. I want to provide just a, I call it one of my corny analogies, and you guys are, I'm sure, are used to that. But, you know, this made me think about vacationing. So often, you know, people are saying, I just need a break. I just need to get away. I need to go on a vacation. No sooner, and this would be something that I would do, no sooner than they're there, they're ready to go back home, because home is their safe environment. It's where they're most comfortable. It's where they know what they know, basically. And so no sooner than they're there on vacation, they're pretty much almost ready after a day or so, you know, they could really go home and be done with this vacation. They just need a different scenery, different air, just a break. I give you this analogy because I feel that this describes our emotional state perfectly. And what I mean by this is I feel that there is a part within us, there's something in us that we deserve more, that we want more, we expect it more, we intended to have more, we expected to be at a different place by now in our lives. We thought that we'd be here with this, with that. And I call that place of home. That's like being on that vacation but yearning to be back home where I know something's there. There's some familiarity there. And I think about our emotions as to how we get out, we try to do things, we try to bring people into our lives, or we do, to replace dealing with what's really going on. That thing that if we just would quiet our lives and deal with it until it's gone or until we feel like we can move on, I feel as though that's kind of explaining that vacation versus home. So, again, it's a place where I feel like emotionally we are home because we know that, or we expect it to be at a different place, particularly emotionally. But because we're not, we say, and depending on age, I think the older we get, the more we say, okay, well, it's too late, then, you know, I'm just going to have to deal with where I am and accept where I am. And we start to see those people and places and things as our replacements. But again, we get to that point where we realize those replacements do not satisfy that hunger for life, that hunger for what we knew we would have, that hunger for a place that we just knew that we would be in our lives at that time. So before digging any deeper into this topic and to tonight's topic or show, I want to just tell you briefly how this topic came about. I received a call from a friend, and this is someone who I don't get to talk to as much as I would like to. So when we do talk, which is probably once every 2 months maybe, we really, really talk. And as we tried to catch each other up on each other's lives and get it all in before having to hang up, she expressed to me, she says, "Tammy, I just have this nagging hunger that keeps returning." She says, "I don't care what I do, how good it gets, it just keeps returning." And for me, that was an aha moment, and you guys have heard me say I just have this journal that I write down my aha moments and anything that kind of moves me. I write it down, And typically those things become topics for this show, but that one just stood out to me, and it continued to do so. So that's where we are tonight, and I feel like many of us are there, or we've been there. And I say for me, I know I was there, but it is something that has really, something that has helped me is becoming more aware of who I am. Really digging in deep to find out how I got here, what do I want? I don't care how old I am, where do I go from here and how do I get there? So I want to just dissect nagging hunger for the sake of answering those questions that I posed a little bit earlier. What is nagging hunger, or what is the best way to describe it? And in doing that, I figured the best way to do that is let's break the word down or break the phrase down, starting with nagging. And I want to give you some words that mean the same as nagging. And I know most people think of nagging, the nagging wife or something like that, but it is words that mean the same as nagging is irritating, troublesome, distressing, harassing, and badgering. So when you hear those words, think about nagging and an internal nagging hunger, which we're talking about an emotional nagging hunger. So it's something that irritates you. You feel troubled by it. Sometimes you get in a distress by it, and it just becomes a harassing thing on your life. And then let's look at hunger. Of course, you know what that is. Starvation, malnutrition, starved, basically, lack of food is the way that that's described. And there's a word in there that means the same as well, and it was appetite. And that one stood out to me the most as it relates to this topic, because the nagging hunger, I think, really is about an appetite for more substance in my life, more peace, more happiness, more of me in my life. And so I like to look at that as an appetite for life, for my life, for me. What do I stand for? Who am I? Where am I going? And I think so often we think of those things, we have an appetite for those things, but we don't put into action. We don't think about what to do. Most times when you're hungry, you're thinking about, well, what I want to eat, and you go get that, or you cook that. But how often do you think about when you were emotionally hungry, what can I do? What does my emotions need? What do I need to feed myself spiritually? What do I need to do for me to cure this hunger? And sometimes people go eat when they're having that emotional hunger for life. They feel it, again, I said people, places, and things. Sometimes people use food for that. There are different stages of hunger, and I think that there's also different stages of that appetite for life, for more life. I think we get to a point where it starts out maybe small and we let it go. We keep going with those people, places, and things. And then as we continue to move in life and get older, that hunger continues to come back, and it comes back even stronger. And you know, the when you're hungry, the longer you go without eating, again, the hungrier you're going to be. You're going to get to a state where you're starved. And I think so many of us are starved emotionally and spiritually because of all the distractions. We're not taking time to figure out who we are, what we stand for, what we want, how do we get it, how do we get there, what's your roadmap. We just don't do it. And that as a result, we have what I explained to you earlier. We have parents unconcerned. Unconcerned. And I'm going to keep it really real. I didn't say this earlier, but I've expressed it to others. Had this weekend been about a barbecue with beer and men, mothers would have been there. They would have gotten their hair fixed, their nails done. They would have been there. But yet, we have people that won't take the time to invest in the lives of their children. Big ups to the parents who did. But there are so many more young girls deserving of a better opportunity to know who they are, to see a mom that they can model themselves from, to see and know a dad that loves them and can guide them. So that is that level of hungriness, and it gets to a point where you'll eat anything. If you let yourself go and you're hungry enough, it doesn't matter what you were craving, what you intended on eating, what you wanted. You'll get to a point where anything is acceptable. I remember when being a little girl, and it was always the saltine crackers. We called them soda crackers back at that time. But, you know, I can remember people would make fun of that. You get hungry enough, they would say a soda cracker tastes like a steak or whatever. And that's so true. When you get emotionally hungry enough, you accept anything. You do anything. You allow things and people in your lives that have no value. That's what we do when we are emotionally starved. But that internal hunger reminds us, or if you allow it to, it will remind you that you have an appetite for more. And appetite was a word, another word for hunger. It will remind you that you have an appetite for more, that you know you deserve more. You know that you expect more from yourself, but you're fearful of pursuing that, and whatever your reason may be, but you become fearful of doing that. So self-awareness, as I noted earlier, self-awareness or becoming more aware of who I am is what did it for me, or what is doing it for me, because I'm still on my journey. It may be different for you, and that's okay. But I feel, I just really feel strongly about this part, that if you work to find out who you are, it will help to identify what is causing the nagging hunger to return, because it helps you to dig deep. Self-awareness, to me, some benefits of that, or a benefit of that, is basically personal growth. We're not growing. Many of us are not growing. We're getting older. Maybe our sizes are changing, things are changing, our looks, but personally growing, and we should be. We should become wiser. We should be able to look back and pull our children up and advise them differently. They should be advised just by the way that we carry ourselves, just by our character. So it promotes personal growth. Benefit for personal growth is contentment. When you grow personally, you learn to love you. We talked about the self-love early on in the show. But when you promote personal growth, which turns into being content with yourself, because the more you grow personally, I'm going to tell you, like we said, the smallest bit of light in the darkest room, the light becomes the focus. I notice this when I'm so off the topic here, but I notice this when I'm running bath water. I like hot, steaming bath water. So I run all the hot water and then until it almost runs out. And then I turn on the cold water, and I only have to have it on for a little while, because just the smallest little bit of cold water makes that hot water just like I need it. I noticed that. So we have to think differently. One of the benefits, again, of personal growth, I said, is contentment. I want to give you some words that mean the same as contentment: gladness, satisfaction, serenity, pleasure, ease. Imagine feeling that about your life no matter what. That's accepting who you are, where you are. Doesn't mean you accepting that you're going to stay there, but at least you know where to start from and what to do, how to get where you're wanting to go. So self-awareness is basically achieved by reflecting on your intentions and your actions, because you can have good intentions, but if no actions are taken with that, then what good are they? And intentions, some words that mean the same as intentions, is purpose, goal, meanings, target, objectives, and plans. How often or how long has it been since you thought about, what is my purpose? What do I like doing? What would I do for free if I could? What brings me the most joy? And what are my plans on getting where I want to go? How often do you think about where do I want to be 5 years from now? Because if you're not where you want to be today and you don't change anything, guess what's coming? The internal hunger is coming back. And whether you identify it as that or not is really irrelevant. I won't even focus on action. As I mentioned, self-awareness is achieved by reflecting on your intentions and actions. But, I mean, no need to really stay there, because we all know what action is. You know if you are taking action in your life or not. And if you don't, then it's really time to sit and reflect. I think we know, it's just a matter of what we do with what we know. You choose to change that and get moving, get some action going, or you don't. And I can say, for the most part, many people are, we talked about proactive versus reactive thinking, and many people have come to a place where they are people who react to situations. Very few are proactive in their lives. That means you are creating what you want out of life, and that makes you available when things do happen, because things are going to happen. Things do change, so you're going to have the flat tire, you're going to have whatever. Things are going to happen. Life happens. But when it does, you have self-control. You know how to respond. In most cases, you are prepared for that flat tire. You have a spare tire in your car that has air in it, so to speak. Same with life. When things happen, you've planned. You know who you are, so you know how to respond. You know how to accept or eliminate and move on. But even in talking about how special today is and being people that react, I am amazed at how many people you will see, even at the inauguration. Thought about this earlier. I guarantee, and I wish there was some way I could find out, there's probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that showed up to the inauguration but did not vote. They're just happy and elated just to be there. But they did not vote. Amazing to me. Amazing. So that is what reacting to situations and reacting to your life. You're just part of the crowd. You want to be part of what's going on, the new fad. As I mentioned, the iPhone a while ago, when the new iPhone 5, I guess I'm saying that right, when it came out, they were disappointed. I guess, I don't know what you would really call that, whoever sells it, they were disappointed because they didn't have the number of sales that they had hoped for. Why? Because you just introduced the iPhone 4, and you had millions of people turn out to get that. And now you have iPhone 5, and there's, I think it was 5 million maybe plus sold, and you're disappointed because that wasn't enough. They're always introducing more to you. And we always want to run out and get it when nothing's wrong with the other one. Why do I need I would have still had my BlackBerry had it not gone out on me. I didn't need the iPhone 4 and don't particularly like it. I let my child and my godchild talk me into getting it. Worst thing I could have did. But we are always looking to be caught up with what's going on. Prime example, other than using the one with people going and probably didn't vote, Trayvon Martin's story. This was all we heard about for ever and a day. And I wonder how many people still think and pray for this mom and dad. Because maybe because I'm a mom and I have a son, but I often hold her. And I should say them, but I'm a mom. And so I really do pray for that mom, for Trayvon's mom. But you hear very little about Trayvon now. But before, people were on it because that's what was going on. Well, why do we have to wait until something's going on? Why do we have to wait until Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday is here to come together and say what we're going to do? And no sooner than midnight tonight, no sooner than the parade's over, probably, we go back to what we've always done. Waiting on the next thing to react to be a part of. What happened to creating something to be a part of? Because there's so much that needs to be created. Again, these are things that get you to a point, particularly when you know or when someone has laid some point or some kind of foundation within you, even if it hasn't been someone, maybe you know, again, you know that there's more to life than you are getting. You're selling yourself short, following the crowd, not really thinking about your goals, your purpose, your life. What gift has God put inside of you? What is that thing that brings you so much joy that if you could, you would simply do it for free? So, you know, proactive versus reactive, another way to say it, are you a follower? Because if you're always following the crowd, it is not likely that you will ever be followed by the crowd. And if you're following a crowd, make sure, it goes back to the comment, and I believe it was Will Smith, I think it was many more that said it, you know, when you figure out you're the smartest kid on the block, change the block. But he said the circle. When he figures that he's the smartest in the circle, he changes his circle. That does two things. That allows him to move and grow in another area, in another circle, around another group of people, but it also allows someone else to elevate. And we have to keep it going. We have to help people through their mess. And again, I didn't say this, but it has to be people that are willing and have acknowledged that there is mess to deal with. I've gotten to a point where I don't deal with it. If you're not ready, then you're not ready. I can't waste my time. If you're not willing to acknowledge where you are and that there is an internal nagging hunger that you want to fix, I'm sorry, I just cannot. Unless I'm led there to stay there, and I have had those instances, but I'm not wasting my time if you are fighting against it. There's no need. If I can't swim and you're drowning, I'm sorry, I'm not jumping out. I can help you try to get out. I can throw something out and call you some help, but I'm not jumping in. So we have to have some sense about it. We have to have some sense about it. So if you've not, and for those of you who are listening and have not had a chance to listen to the proactive versus reactive thinking show, that was a wonderful show and maybe a timely and needed show if you are working towards, if you're trying to identify with your internal nagging hunger. So I challenge you all to go the extra mile in your life. Go the extra mile. And as I said, I think on last week's show, you know, there's not very many people out. When you go the extra mile, you can really do what you want out there because there's not a lot of people taking the time to go that extra mile. They're following the crowd. They're just trying to fit in. They're just looking for a Band-Aid to keep from dealing with self, to keep from dealing with that internal nagging hunger. So I know tonight's show is not about self-awareness, but that's just my key thing. That's what I feel that is the one thing or one of the things that will help you to at least identify with what's going on with you and to determine why the internal nagging hunger continues to resurface. So it's just basically self-knowledge. And when you know yourself, you learn to trust yourself better and your decisions. We did a show on being double-minded, you know, one day or one minute, even in the midst of growing personally myself, you've heard me say there are days where I simply just say, Tammy, I'm not going there with you today. I've moved beyond that point in my life. And I have to remind myself that where my thoughts are trying to take me is not best for me because I'm trying to move in a different area into a different place in my life. So when you know yourself better, you make better decisions and you learn to trust those decisions. And even if they don't work out the way that you want, that's okay. But you can't be double-minded. You can't try to figure out this and that. Another thing that will definitely cause you to get back to a place of internal hunger because you start to question yourself. We rely on or learn to rely on our judgment rather than, you know, being judged by others, thinking about what others think about what we're doing or our life. We learn not to compare ourselves with others. All these things, again, go right back to taken you into that hunger, that starving, emotional starving stage in your life. So we have to learn to embrace who we are, even our differences. We have to learn to respond to life based on facts, based on mere facts and not emotions. And I'm not saying you won't ever be emotional or get emotional. That's where your circle comes in. We talk all the time about knowing your circle. You have to know where to go, who to go to for advice. So you have to know all of those. I'm going to briefly read. I'm going to check time and I'm going to check the chat line. And remember, the lines are open. I think we got a new person that came into the chat line, so I just want to remind you, if you're not a registered follower and you have a question or a comment, you do have to select the number one, call in to select the number one if you're not a registered follower, or you can just do that right now and submit your question or comments. The description, and I'm going to read this because not everyone has an opportunity to receive the description. If you're not on the social network, I don't often send out the full description of the show because of the length. But I do want to read it because I want to reflect on some parts of it as we move forward. And I'm not going to keep you guys much longer, but I want to get through this part. And so here's the description for the show. It's a nagging hunger is often described or known as the hunger that occurs between meals or snacks. Nothing we can't fix, right? Just simply eat a bit more. But what does one do about the nagging hunger that food cannot cure? The internal nagging hunger that occurs and resurfaces between life's temporary fixes or distractions that produce dead fruit. We often from time to time partake on an emotional roller coaster ride that could potentially and often do leave feelings of worthlessness, bitterness, resentment, and just a sense of loss and unhappiness. Search your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. This is a quote from The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Steve Covey. I've learned that searching the heart can also produce the joys of life. Therefore, my revision of this quote is this: search your heart, for out of it flow the fruit of the Spirit. And Galatians 5:22-23 reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control," and I put much emphasis on self-control. "Against those things there is no law." I'm going to read that again, and that's from Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I'm going to read one more verse, and again, this is all part of the show description. John 15:1-17 reads, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bear much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing." So again, from John 15, verse 1 through 17. So again, people, things, places, people, they don't satisfy, or they will not satisfy on a consistent basis your nagging hunger. So in saying that, I want to pull out a couple of things. Number one, starting back with search your heart. Have faith. Have faith in your vine dresser, and we know who that is. And that is where your good fruit comes from. That's like focusing on your positives and not your negatives. But so many people will focus on what they can't do, not giving much thought to what you can do. What's your purpose? What's your goal? Where do you want to go in life? And if you don't think about that, then you're not planning to get there. Again, comes right back to knowing that you deserve more, want more, but don't have a desire because you've not thought about it or created a plan to to get there. So much is said in that description, and we can take much from it. And as I started out with searching your heart, I do want to just continue to put emphasis on, some people say from, if you search your heart, the issues of life flow from that. But for me, in searching my heart, brought about the joys of life, because it made me stop and focus on me. It made me push everybody out for a bit and say, okay, what do you need, Tammy? What are you doing for everybody else that you need to do for yourself? And so out of that came the joys of life, which takes me back to Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And again, against such things there is no law. We can't move forward without putting emphasis on abide in me. And so many of us are trying to do this in our own ability, I guess, so to speak. And it may work for some. Seemingly people, you know, I guess they say they're making it without putting God first. For me, it just has not worked. And that doesn't mean I'm without error, without, you know, I'm flawless. It doesn't mean that. It just means it gives me a base. It gives me a different source. It helps me get through. It helps me keep that self-control. It helps me think about the fruit of the Spirit. It keeps me accountable, I guess is a better way to say that. And again, that was a quote. I want to make sure that I quote my sources, but that was a quote from The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. The lines are open, and I'm going to check the chat line here again. Okay, so you guys get in on this. I know that I'm not the only one that has gone through an internal hunger process or starvation. So I know you're probably taking your notes, but I'd like to hear what your internal hunger is or was, and how did you, or how do you deal with it? Because as I noted how this topic came about, it was just from a friend sharing with me that no matter how good life gets or what she seems to be going through, you know, good or bad, that internal hunger, emotional hunger, just seems to continue to resurface in her life. And it just goes back to not really dealing with some things in your life and letting go. So sometimes you just need to accept it and move on. And I think we spend too much time trying to figure out the shoulda, woulda, couldas, and we miss the moments. We miss those precious moments that God has given us a chance to do a retake, a do-over. So search your heart, because not only do the issues of life come out of that, but the joys of life come out of that as well. So learn to pick those good fruits. Learn to look at yourself and determine what good can I bring into my life. And then reach back, of course. You always need to give back, but reach back and give those things back, because as you grow and learn yourself and you help someone else to come up as well, that helps you to stay focused and stay moving forward, because it's easy to go back to the rut, because again, it's what you know, no different from moving your trash can. You move it and you go right back to where it was. It's hard to break habits of a lifetime. It's really hard. It's no different. You guys have heard me say, for our regular listeners, how I just remember being so amazed when you see a child standing before you who has iron marks on his back, who has seriously been just, the hot iron has been just over and over again laid on his back to the point he has burnt his skin off. And he's at school trying to learn, and someone recognizes his pain. But when he has an opportunity to stay or go, meaning go home or go to a safe place, he picks home. That was mind-boggling. That the first instances of that just blew my mind. I did not understand. But it's where home was where he knew. And I spoke about being home, emotionally home, earlier in the show. But it was where he was most comfortable, regardless of the pain. That's what he knew. That was mom. That was dad. That was his bed. That was his house. It was common ground for him, in spite of or regardless of the pain. Same thing with habits. Unconscious patterns that we consistently do without much thought process. Sometimes I'll get in my truck and I'm intended to go, I want to go the different way, but because I mostly go another way, I've caught myself or I've gone the different way, meaning to go just the opposite. But because I consistently go the other way more, that's where my mind automatically takes me. So you have to capture those thoughts. And in doing that, you capture them and you need to be able to decipher which ones do I keep, which ones do I eliminate. And in order to do that, you have to know who you are, where you're going, what do you want. Who can help you get there? Who is part of the group? Who's not? Because process of elimination is even more important than who stays. Because if you keep negativity around, what do you think it will do to you? So I'm going to just go a little bit more. I have just a few more things that might help you or will help you hopefully get through those points of having that internal nagging hunger, just a few more, and they're kind of going to be a repetition, but I want to get through them because there's something else different to add. Secondly, the first one was, of course, just search your heart. Secondly, God's word, and I gave you two scriptures there, but we have to focus on, so often I hear people just, they're so eager to say, that these are signs of the time and we just really can't do anything about all this bad stuff happening, so much so until I think people forget God promised life and more abundantly. To me, that means he promised me peace and happiness. He promised the joys of my heart, things that make me happy, people that make me happy. And I just stand to believe that that's what I will get. Yes, all this stuff is going to happen. Sure, life happens. But I see myself as not being a part of that world. And if when it happens, I see myself as having my source to go to help me get through that, not really and truly being affected by it to the point where it stops me. So keep God first. Keep God's word first in your life. Reflect upon the promises that God, there's so many things that God promised us. In spite of life happening and in spite of all the things you see going around you, there's so much more in there. So take some time to read up on God's promises. Take some time to do that. And monitor. The third thing is time. And I kind of went there earlier, but, you know, what are you doing with your time and how are you spending your time? Because as I spoke about distractions in this microwave world and so much being right at our fingertips, in spite of all that, suicide is up, the divorce rate is up, children, the family concept is almost totally gone. In spite of all these things, we still are losing. It seems like it's a losing battle. I explained to you what happened with today with the young lady. And over the weekend. And it's just ridiculous. But how often do you think about, what am I doing with my time? What are you watching on TV? This reality show after reality show, and then we're allowing our young girls to do that. What do you think their internal hunger is going to be by the time that they are 18, 21? Sad to say, but it's full of weave and Michael Kors purses and whoever else is out there. It's sad to say, but that's what they are looking forward to, just following the crowd. What's the next thing that's coming out so that I can get it? What's the next thing that I can join, such as Facebook? And I'm not knocking Facebook, because if Facebook is used properly, it can really help to grow and help you get through some things as far as if you take the positive side of it. But I learned this morning that the young people are going, they've created something totally different, because they said too many older people on Facebook. Their parents and their grandparents are on Facebook, so they're moving forward. They're going to another social site. It's just too much, too soon, I think. Parents don't set boundaries. Just as I told you, people are pulling up today, dropping kids off with no supervision. 50-plus kids in a park alone. Just get out of my hair. Just go anywhere so I won't have to deal with it. That you are mothers and fathers that are doing that, and then you're stepping back when things happen. You're wondering, what happened to my kid? What happened to this child? That's what happened. No supervision. So, where do you think their internal hunger is going to end up? It will be double for their trouble. So, take some time, quiet your life, and think about where you're going. If you remember, we had Erica Murray on the show, and I want to stop and just give Erica a really big shout-out, because I heard that she's opened up new offices, one in China and one in Georgia, and I believe in Miami. So we had Erica on the show, and I just want to say a big shout-out to her. But Erica mentioned that she doesn't do anything big, make any decisions that will affect her, where she's going in life, without first giving it at least 24 hours to think about. And her book is CEO to the Power of You. Very, very powerful book, just very easy to read, and it's very applicable to all areas of your life. So Butterfly Evolution does not get any proceeds from that book. I mention it almost every show because, again, it's so applicable to day-to-day life. So if you have not, for our repeat listeners, if you have not gotten that book, please do so. We've had Erica on twice already, but that is a very good book. But it's CEO to the Power of You, and again, she just referenced that she does not make those type of decisions without at least giving it 24 hours. That allows you to think about it. Does it set the path? Is it the direction or leading you to your goal or your purpose in life? And you first have to know where that is and where you're going. If you don't, wherever you end up, hey, you just have to accept it. This also helps to eliminate reacting to life. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but it helps you not to react to things so quickly. So slow your life down. And remember, you sow a thought, you reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. We talked about what habits are. You sow a habit, you reap character. And you sow character, you reap your destiny. I cannot say enough about quieting your space, silencing your life just a minute to allow your mind time to breathe and decipher where are you. And that's another good thing. When those internal hungers come, people say they don't know where they come from or why, as my friend did. Sometimes you just need to stop and reflect, what is going on in my life that may be bringing this internal nagging hunger? Because you may find some that is very familiar or the same things were going on previously when the internal hunger came about. And I know this won't work for everybody, journaling. Journaling doesn't work for me in the sense of the way people do it, meaning just really writing something every night. I do it more so a little bit at a time. When something moves me, as this topic did, I just jot it down, and I go back and look at what I've written down periodically. But just the sense of journaling nightly or daily in that sense does not work for me. But as we bring it to a close, I want you just to remind you, because the month of January is the month of, or a month set aside to keep you motivated, particularly with your New Year resolutions, if that's what you call them. We, for the sake of this show, have renamed them New Year Habits, because that's what we want to create and produce. We want to change lives by changing our thought process, which will also change our habits. So that's what we've renamed them. But as we've talked about this show, reflect upon your New Year resolutions. I find that people continuously make oftentimes the same resolutions over and over and over again. And most of the time it's weight. They want to get better, in better shape, financial, stop smoking and things like that. But start there. But you have to start somewhere. And are you doing okay? statistics show that by seventh day, people, you know, are not even bothered by New Year resolutions. And by 12 to 14 days, it's as if they didn't make them. So why do we have to wait until 2014? And many of you will do that. You will say, okay, well, I didn't do it, and you'll wait until the end of this year to start talking about it again. New Year's, to me, is every day. Every day that I get up, it's a new day, and I'm creating a new year in my life. That's how I like to think of it. At least it gives me the momentum to try and move forward. So I challenge you to utilize this topic as the others that we've talked about for the past few Mondays. I do want to remind you of our show February 4th. We do have a caller, and caller, give me just a minute. I do want to remind you guys, because I don't want to forget this. Anthony Graves is going to be on the show February 4th, and I ask you guys to go out to the website anthonybelieves.com to research about this case, about Anthony. A very, very, very interesting story. Again, I learned of this just by watching. I love to watch 60 Minutes Investigation ID or something like that. And that's where I learned about it. And I Googled it and found him and sent him a message asking him to come on the show. And so he's accepted, and the show will be February the 4th, 8 o'clock. I'm just asking all young men, everyone, but I really want our young black boys, men, to tune into this show, because, I mean, I know of people that have family members that are incarcerated, so I really want, and have been falsely incarcerated, many, many people are, so I really want this show to be very enlightening and a show that get you to moving, to doing something. So I'll tell you more about that, but I do want to just continue to remind you guys about that. And it's anthonybelieves.com. I'm going to pull our caller in, and caller again, I'm going to give you the first, your area code, which is 857, and the last four is 7203. You have a call, a question or a comment, caller?
Yes, a comment.
Okay. What is your comment? Who do we have in line with us? And you don't have to give your name if you don't want to, but if you do, that's fine. But what is your comment?
Well, my name is Steve Johnson. I'm calling from Alpharetta. I just wanted to tune in on with you on the purpose, when you were speaking on purpose. I think that's so very, very important. And a lot of times in young people's lives, even in adult lives, that when people don't have purpose, and we find ourselves mimicking the world, duplicating what we've seen somebody else do. So I think a lot that contributes to our environment, where you see the violence and the teenagers doing certain particular things, when people don't know their purpose, it creates a reckless situation. So I just really just think that purpose that you're speaking about is very powerful.
Okay, I agree, and I think so many people don't think about purpose and passion and goals. I just think they just go through life with whatever. I'm going to live my life based on what's going on in the world. As I mentioned earlier, so many people are just reacting to what's going on today. So many people went down to D.C. but didn't vote. They just want to be a part of something, but there's no meaning or value behind it. Same thing they do with their life. There's no purpose to their living in their life. So I totally agree with you. And you are a first-time caller and listener, right?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Anything else you want to share?
One other thing. When we don't really live out our purpose, we replace that passion. When you spoke about that inner hunger that we all have and long for, Bible teaches that those that seek and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. There's a hunger that's in all of us that we want to be filled with the agape love of God. But when we don't channel that hunger and make it become the purpose in which we live, we find ourselves again living a reckless and almost not meaningful life because of until we tap into our purpose. Because there's a reason we were born. There's a reason I was a male. There's a reason you're a female. There's a reason behind it. And I know for me and I know for myself, when I really didn't know God, and I just knew the things of the world, the hustling, the drinking, the smoking, the women, the whatever it took to try and feel that void, that hunger, that thirst for something more. I remember at 26 years old, I had two houses, cars, women, money, clothes. But at the end of that age of 26, I realized I still wasn't happy. I didn't feel as though my life really mattered. And it wasn't until I met Christ and understood my purpose. And inside that purpose, you begin to live with a passion for the things of God. I just wanted to share that. I can go on and on, but I just really wanted to share that purpose piece, because you see the young people, they want to be like this rapper, that rapper. They want to wear these clothes and that clothes. But at the end of the day, if we all be honest, that no matter what kind of woman, what kind of man, what kind of house, what kind of car, what kind of clothes, what kind of money we have, no matter what our beacon score is, at the end of the day, it do not bring us that joy. Only the agape love of God can really give us that joy. So out of our ignorance sometimes and not fulfilling our purpose, we find ourselves imitating and doing what everybody else does. And at the end of that rope, it's void. It's nothing fulfilling behind it. Purpose is very powerful. So I just wanted to comment there. Thank you.
I agree. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think our audience needs to hear that, particularly coming from a male. So thank you for sharing and being so transparent. So really appreciate it and continue to listen.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Awesome information. And again, I just want to thank the caller for just being so transparent and sharing, because, again, that's what we needed. That's what we need, actually, as I explained to you earlier in talking to people that just open up and share what's going on in their lives. You know, so much so sometimes I'm thinking too much information. I just didn't need all of that. But people are wanting to talk. People are wanting to tell what's going on. We just going on in their lives. We just have to be willing to listen and then share with them what we've learned and what has gotten us through. Otherwise, people are going to continue to have this nagging hunger. Otherwise, we're going to have parents doing what they did today, just dropping kids off in the middle of nowhere with no supervision, you know, because they don't know their purpose. They don't know who they are. We have grandparents that are 35, 40 years old now, still searching for themselves. So we have a duty, people, to reach back and help someone along, particularly our youth. I mean, this weekend and today almost was more than I can handle internally. But, you know, I got to keep moving. I got to keep going. We can't lose. And we just cannot lose much more of our youth. We just cannot. And call ourselves, there's a church on every corner. There's something going on at church almost every day. I'm not going to say the right things. But in spite of all this, and they're filled to capacity, people are not being transformed. People are not establishing relationships with God that allows them and promotes growth in their lives. Churches are so into growing numbers rather than growing people spiritually. If you grow people spiritually, those people will be your people to bring those numbers up. You won't have to go out there searching for people, because the people that are in the house of God, in the church, will be your ministry. But people are not trying to grow. They're not trying to deal with the issues of their lives, the things that keep them in bondage, the things that are holding them back from so many things. So that is where I'm going to end it tonight with a few more things. I just want to be sure that I get out my sources. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Steve Cohen, The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck. And I've not gotten to that one yet, so I'm going to use that to end the show. And then CEO to the Power of You by Erica Murray. And, of course, our Bible. So I want you to just take this. I hope you found something or will be able to take something away from the show that moves you to move forward past this nagging hunger and to be ready for it when it resurfaces. The way to do that is self-awareness, to know who you are. Spend some time to find out what's going on inside of you and deal with it. Be ready to deal with it. I mentioned earlier, and again, this is where I want to close the show. I mentioned earlier that I was going to reflect on people of the lie, and relevant to this show because people of the lie basically is people who by all means will choose not to recognize that something's wrong, that something is going on within them that they need to change. So, again, this is from The Road Less Traveled, and this is Scott Peck is the author. And I'm going to read just as it comes from the book. For the most of us, if there is evidence around us that might point to our own sin and imperfection, if that evidence pushes us up against the wall, we usually come to recognize that something is wrong, and we make some kind of self-correction. Those who do not, I call people of the lie, because one of their distinguishing characteristics is their ability to lie to themselves as well as to others, and to insist on being ignorant of their own faults or wrongdoing. Their guiding motive is to feel good about themselves at all costs, at all times, no matter what evidence there is that may be that points to their sin or imperfection. Rather than using it to make some kind of self-correction, they will instead, often at great expenses of energy, again, of great expenses of energy, set about trying to exterminate the evidence. And this is basically, in my terms or my words, saying someone that at all costs will try to convince you that everything's okay with them. There's nothing about them that they need to change. They're happy. Everything's perfect. But inside, they're truly dying. They're living a lie and will do anything to convince you that nothing's wrong. Nothing needs to be changed. And no matter how much we grow, there's always something to grow beyond and to continue to move forward and work through. So to our caller, again, the talking about just the purpose and knowing who you are and identifying with that, and then that agape love that we all long for, regardless if we would admit it or not, you know, that is our source. For me, that does it for me. That helped me to get to the point. That is the reason I'm to the point that I am now. So I won't say help, but that is my reason. So what is your source? What is your nagging hunger? How do you deal with it? What's your emotional deficiency? And what do you need in order to be able to move forward or be prepared for it when it returns? So before ending, again, I just want to remind you of February 4th show, Anthony Graves, anthonybelieves.com is the website. Anthony Believes, and that's with an S, .com is the website. Anthony Graves is his name. So take some time to read about the story in preparation for the show on February 4th, and please share it with everyone, but particularly our men, our young boys, particularly share it with them. So without further ado, thank you all for tuning in to tonight's show. I did not mean to keep you this long. I appreciate you staying on with me. I see you guys out there, so I really appreciate you staying on this long. Be prepared to tune back into another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show next Monday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, thank you for listening, and I look forward to working with you or chatting with you next Monday, same time. Thank you.